From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Talking some Knicks basketball, NBA at large. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps, as well as our website. Go to BleedBlueShow.com. Hear all the dope sports fans across four fan bases talking sports on our platform. A lot of exciting news around the NBA, and I think we're going to get into that right before we get off. But our squad first, that will be the Knicks. And we all know about the trade last week. And shout-outs to the stakeholders as they come on. Coming on the Big Blue Roundtable podcast right before the Super Bowl, and they're getting their thoughts right in the midst of the trade between the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. So the guys are going to expand on their thoughts on the Porzingis trade here on this platform, of course. And then we got a couple of games to analyze DeAndre Jordan, who's been a veteran for several years, of course, and Wesley Matthews, who shot terribly since being a Knick. And you saw the explosiveness in the out of Dennis Smith Jr. on the game versus the Pistons on Monday night. Tuesday night. So you got all this going on. Let's talk with the stakeholders and get their thoughts. I'm excited. I think this was a good move for the Knicks, and that is not often that we can say that, or I will say that. Two decades, we've been cash strapped, bad contracts, and this is the very first time I can remember where we had this much money on the table available for max free agents. And I think this is hopefully we can land some big fish in the free agency period. If the Knicks continue to do what they do, you hear the stakeholders on this platform as far as quote-unquote development, i.e. control tanking, the Knicks have a chance to be a top two, top three pick within this NBA draft in May. So let's talk with the stakeholders. Just a quick hello real quick, and then we'll get him on so we can expand on his diet. I'm ready to talk some basketball, man. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks, could be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Avenue, what's going on? Say hello to the people real quick, then we'll bring on other stakeholders, but we're going to definitely lead.
Yo, what's going on, Steve? The infamous one is in the building.
The infamous one is in the building. We got Mr. Live with us. Mr. Live, say hello to the peoples real quick.
Yo, what's good? What's good, people? What's good, Bleed Blue?
All right. Let's go. Knickerbocker Avenue, please, the floor is yours, and by all means, alley-oop to Mr. Live when you're done, and then I'll chime in.
Absolutely. So now we're a week removed, well, about really like 6 days removed from the great monumental blockbuster trade that sent Kristaps Porzingis and Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke to the Dallas Mavericks in return for Wes Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, and not one, but two first-round picks. Like we discussed on the roundtable, and by the way, now you understand exactly why I didn't want to mention my Super Bowl pick, Steve, considering how boring the Super Bowl was. I'm glad I didn't really get into that other than just saying I knew the Patriots would win. But a week removed and, more and more information is starting to leak out. First of all, I want to say this. I don't necessarily believe anything that's being said, especially if it's coming from Steve Mills or Scott Perry. I know that, that organization – the way it's constructed, the way it is, they leak out information, pertinent information that only allows them to dictate and narrate their own, their own story. And so not everything that they say is going to be – I'm going to look at it and just take their side on it. But the things that I have been hearing that are independent from the Knicks, such as, the talks of Giannis – Porzingis who wanted a front office position, and pretty much was telling Steve, you know, was pretty much trying to replace Steve Mills all in one shot. Which, let's be realistic, Steve Mills probably needed to be replaced years ago. But I will say this, I would not have replaced him with Giannis Porzingis, a guy who's been in the NBA not a day, but is living vicariously through his brother, the 7'3" unicorn. But here's the crazy thing is just, you know, I think what's funny about this whole situation is the roller coaster that we've had with Porzingis from the moment he was drafted and we booed him to death, to then we start to you know love him, accept him, anoint him the next guy after Carmelo Anthony and being the future of our franchise, to all of a sudden these situations being turn out the way they are, to the ACL injury, to him skipping the exit interview, to this to now him requesting to be traded through his brother Giannis, I'm like really, like, I'm at a really, like, fuck you, Porzingis, and excuse my language, you know, for those stakeholders who are sensitive, but I'm at a F you, Porzingis, right now so much just for the things that I am independently hearing about him. But I do enjoy the trade. Dennis Smith Jr., a guy we should have drafted a long time ago. We saw how good he can be and explosive he is, offensively. Obviously, he has holes in his game. He needs to develop a much more consistent shot. I think that he needs to be more selective in his shot selection. He has the ultimate green light now that Hardaway's not there. And, you know, this is pretty much his team to run up until the, you know, free agency happens. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. There are news and reports now that Enes Kanter is about to front through for a buyout, which is kind of a shame that we can't trade him for like a second round pick or something, but it's neither here nor there. Wes Matthews also being talked about being a buyout option. I remember a few years ago when we were actually looking to sign him, and just the guy that he's become now is kind of a shame. And DeAndre Jordan, obviously he's somebody that the Knicks want to hold on to kind of A, replace Kanter, and B, help groom Mitchell Robinson, because he would probably be the best option to kind of mentor him and groom him to become, you know, a dominant big man. And of course the quote unquote connection he has to Kevin Durant and other free agents. But I think that this is probably a move that was such a bold move. It was a move that had, you know, that carried a lot of cojones. And, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, you have to be pretty proud of the fact that this move happened, that now we're starting to see, you know, Porzingis and his brother and his management for what they really were. And the possibility is there. I'm not sold on those possibilities because anything could still happen. The Knicks, you know, with the worst record in the NBA, 14 games in a row, losses, 15 losses in a consecutive at home franchise record. You know, it sucks that we're in this position, but, I mean, even with this – even with the worst record, you know, they can, you know, draft as high as one or fall as low as five. And that's the scary part. And then, of course, they could possibly, very, very possibly and quickly, you know, strike out with Durant, with Irving. Hell, we probably might strike out with Butler, Walker, and a couple other guys because of the situation. But I do like the potential, and I have a little bit more optimism for next year that I did have, go into the season, because I felt that something needed to be done, something needed to happen to kind of improve the Knicks situation, going into free agency. So, Mr. Live, holla at me. What you thinking about the three new Knicks and the whole situation?
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm still popping bubbly from last week. What's good, everybody? What's up, Steve? Little bug I have.
What's up, everybody?
Hello?
Nothing much, bro. Go far away. We hear you.
Okay. So again, I'm arguing with people about, you know, the front office decision making and everything. And, you know, let's go back to, you know, his brother Giannis and you know, them being skeptical about how they treated Melo, which for me, was spot on. You know what I'm saying? They treated my dude horribly. And I thought it was a bad way to show somebody who could have been a staple in the franchise. I thought it was a mistake to show him that side of the front office so soon. So, you know, when they started talking that crap at his exit meeting, I thought it was a valid point and a valid concern. But as this whole thing, you know, with the trade kind of transpired, you know what I'm saying, you know, whether it's propaganda or not, Porzingis is, and his camp is like divas, and like they little girls, and they want this, and they, you know what I'm saying, they want positions, and they want this, and they want that, and Porzingis has played 188 games for us, folks, in four seasons. 188 games. He has not proven anything. So when I look at the haul, okay, I look at a big ass truck rolling backwards, and out comes a very capable point guard. You know what I'm saying? So much so, I'm like, do we need Ja Morant? Because, you know what I'm saying, my whole thing is forget Zion. It's either R.J. Barrett or Morant. But looking at Dennis Smith Jr., I'm like, man, maybe we can hang out for a minute and concentrate on our four and our three and four and five spots. Because it's crazy. The, you know what I'm saying? We got a very good point guard in that hall. And then we go. We didn't give up any. We got rid of so much salary debt, so much weight on the salary that you know. I'm almost. I feel so good about this, man. That I'm like this. I'm not even. Well, you know what I'm saying. Aside from the fact that my man Tobias Harris got traded today, I'm saying the Knicks don't have to do a lot. You know what I'm saying, like. You know what I'm saying? Don't you don't have to court a 31-year-old KD and give him 5 years max, whatever the case may be. Especially not, you know what I'm saying, courting Kyrie Irving, who is as injury prone as anybody in this league. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to give away that kind of money. You know, there are plenty of players outside that you can just go, you know what I'm saying, let's build a capable team. You know, again, I looked at the Tobias Harris's and the Chris Middletons and stuff like that to actually do something and leave some cap room, sign them to reasonable contracts and build a quality team that you can now next year go, okay, we play off down. Let's get some winning experience. Let's have these kids learn alongside, you know, tested veterans, and let's grow together. And then maybe get, you know what I'm saying, Anthony Davis the next year or something. We have so many options, it's ridiculous, and I'm feeling so good about that. That's the one thing I'm feeling good. And it seems it started when Perry came, because we know Mills is an idiot. You know, we all know that, you understand? But it's like Perry comes in, and he shuts everything down, man, and he doesn't make the stupid plays, and he doesn't make the stupid moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with Cantor, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, listen, we'll listen to it. We'll listen to whatever the case may be, and this is what we're going to do. If not, we're going to buy him out and get him out of here and use some 10-day, you know what I'm saying, for his spot. I'm loving what's happening, B. You know what I'm saying? My UN jersey is crispy clean, man. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's so good, man. And I And again, man, for the roster spots, man, I think, you know, for our point guard position, man, listen. You know what I'm saying? My dude, Frank Ntilikina, he's filling out hot dog vendor applications right now, B. He's out of here. He's done. He's finished. Get him out of here. It's a lot. Son, I'm feeling so good right now, Steve, man. It's crazy, man.
My thoughts on Porzingis, Av, you saw the troll post he had on Instagram and Twitter towards Knicks fans. Really arrogant, very cocky. And to like what Mr. Ross said, it's really uncalled for. It's really, you don't have to go that route with fellow Knicks fans who've been loyal to the number six outside of the draft boos. Once he started playing, the fans embraced him. But I think it's this with Porzingis is that I think we've said it for several years on this platform, game in game, and when he did play. I just didn't feel like his game – I mean, he's still young. It didn't get to the point where I thought he should have been down on the block more. We didn't see more of that even in the year last year before he got hurt in the ACL injury versus the Bucks. Sometimes he attacked the rim, but it felt like he was more content playing on the perimeter, jacking up – long perimeter twos or three-pointer shots. Maybe he goes to Dallas and he develops that, especially with no better player in the league with Dirk Nowitzki. I think that's probably the best fit for him as far as polishing his game after him. But because in New York, it just didn't seem Porzingis learned that all-around game. It was, you know, he had some flashes, but he never got stronger in his lower body to you know, fight for the position on the block. It's every time he would play the post-up game, it was always high up on the like 16, 17 feet out, and guys would push him around, and it was frustrating to watch. There'd be some games that he was hot from three, and then there were a lot of games he would just chuck him up and just miss, man. But the move, I love the move because I think I wasn't comfortable with Porzingis coming off an ACL injury giving him a lot of money. I just wasn't comfortable with that. I think a lot of reasonable fans weren't comfortable with that either. So Dallas inherits all that type of risk as far as they're going to see him if he plays, you know, getting a player option, see how he does after a year, and then maybe for them, they'll decide how to treat it as far as money, extension, so on and so forth. But that's not our problem going forward. Now, as far as Smith Jr., you see the explosion. The risk, I think, the Knicks didn't want to take at the time because he in high school, Dennis Smith Jr. had the ACL surgery. They didn't know what to expect with that. And I guess after, you know, a year with the Mavericks, they got to see him. Now the Knicks management, Scott Perry, Steve Mills, they had opportunity to go get Dennis Smith Jr. and they did it. And I think for both teams, it works out. I have a question for both of you guys, and you kind of, I would say, stole my thunder, but if you were to look forward towards next year, and I think this is a good position for as far as big men for the Knicks, you see that Mitchell Robinson is still coming into his own. He's going to have a lot of development, but I don't think there's a better player in the league. One of the better players to follow his game after is DeAndre Jordan, who's been an all-star, a rebounding machine, could block some shots. I think that – at what value with DeAndre Jordan's contract going to expire, how much are you willing to sign him and you think the Knicks could retain him if you are going to buy out Cantor? That's my question for you, Av, and then Mr. Live, if you want DeAndre Jordan on your roster for even next season. Av, what about you first? Do you want DeAndre Jordan going forward? Do you want to bypass him? Or what's your thoughts? And then go to Mr. Live.
I think that the DeAndre Jordan situation is an interesting one because you can play in one of two ways. You can utilize DeAndre Jordan since he has the connection to Durant to try to lure, in hopes to get a Kevin Durant. Now, I don't believe the Knicks will. Reports are saying and everything. I just don't see it. I know that they have the cash base, but there has to be more of an intrigue in order for that to happen. So with that being said, keeping DeAndre Jordan makes sense.
For how much?
Because you can utilize him almost like
for how much?
How much? Well,
yeah.
I mean, he's making
isn't
about.
Isn't he at like a $22 million now?
He's making about $22 million now. And you know, we're only talking about buying out Kanter, who's at 18.6 or something like that. I mean, obviously you would. Obviously, you want to sign him for less. I don't know what the mid-level exception would work. You know, if that would work for him, I seriously doubt it. But obviously, if the Knicks, you know, by some virtue of circumstances, you end up with Durant and Irving, and end up getting the number one pick in the perfect world, if all the stars align and we get all three of those things happen, DeAndre Jordan still belongs in this team, unless you're looking to flip the number one pick over to the Pelicans mm-hmm. in hopes of getting Anthony Davis. And then at that point, you have to come to Jordan and tell him he has to, sign for less.
And which I think he would. Let me ask Mr. Live the same question, but let me add that caveat. I think you could sell that. DeAndre Jordan has been in the league for a long time. The majority of his game has been played in the Western Conference with the Clippers. They had a hell of a struggles getting out of that second round for years. They had to battle with the Rockets. They had to battle with the Spurs. The whole point is, does he – I don't know where his head is at. I would assume that he would want a championship. And him being in the East is a better chance of him doing that than running running the chance of going to another team if, like you said, if the stars align. Mr. Live, DeAndre Jordan, do you want him back? Or if you do, how much? How do you play that situation with him going forward?
Okay, so love DeAndre Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Always have. You know what I'm saying? The problem with him and Robinson is that they're going to need facilitators. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I was looking at Ja Morant. Him and DS Jr., Dennis Smith Jr. have a rapport already. So you see the law is already there in effect. He's 30 years old. He'll be 41 next. I mean, he'll be 31 next year. He's in the twilight, as far as athletes go. Still probably thinks he has another four and probably wants to capitalize off it. If I was the Knicks, I would offer him $10 million. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's still a premier center in this league. He's still leading second, I think it is, yeah, second in field goal percentage. He's second in rebounding, 13 a game. You understand? Almost 14 a game. He's still a viable option at that five. He's still a defensive threat. My whole thing is you would have to talk to him, and your point I didn't even kind of throw in the mix where, he might be looking for a championship situation. So if I was the Knicks, I don't think I would throw crazy money at him, but whatever money you thought you was going to give Kanter, like, give to him. I wouldn't give Kanter over $4 million again. I don't think he's going to make six with anybody. That's just my opinion. He's garbage. But DeAndre Jordan is still worth, I would say, $10 million a year at least. And I think the Knicks should offer him that. You understand? Maybe a 3-year deal, 2-year deal, at $10 million apiece. So I would love to keep him. I think he's going to be a great influence on Robinson. I want Robinson to develop an offensive game of his own. But I'll take Jordan and teaching him how to be a young man in the league and deal with his stuff, man. Because I love Robinson is like my favorite Knicks player right now. So I would love DeAndre Jordan to be on the squad for another 2-3 years. You know what I'm saying? Mentoring that cat. So yeah, that's on that.
I mean, for all the points you both guys said, it makes a lot of logical sense because we talk about Mitchell Robinson, and you see him defensively be a monster out there, and him under the tutelage under a DeAndre Jordan. I mean, why not? I don't. Now it really does come down to price. I don't want to overpay the guy, I really would like to know, and I really don't know that answer. I would assume he's dying for a chip at this point. And he wasn't going to get that in the West. He was definitely not going to get that when he was with the Clippers with Doc Rivers and Blake Griffin. And then moving on to the Dallas Mavericks, there was a couple of attempts of him trying to go to the Mavericks, and they lured him back, kind of almost like almost a reverse Indian give in a sense. But nonetheless, if he's talking chip and he's in the East, and if this thing lines up the way it could with all this cap space, he will be a nice piece in the middle where the Knicks – you're going to have a top five rebounder, a guy who field goal percentage, like you said, Mr. Live, is still top three in the league. You can't go no better than that. He'll get comfortable playing in New York. I think he would. And it's only going to make Mitchell Robinson better. It has to. They have a seem like the reports in practice that they're connecting, they're bonding. You can't you have to let this rookie latch on to that. I mean, that's like just the development for him, for Mitchell Robinson alone, it makes a lot of sense. Only at the right price, though. Don't want to overpay. As far as Smith Jr., the shot selection, the consistent jumper, the jumper needs to be consistent. We talked about that. And if you brought up Wesley Matthews, and I remember I think we discussed this several years ago as far as Wesley Matthews as being an option with him coming off that Achilles tendon injury. Now, I like him as far as he's going to be the type of guy that's going to jump in your face. He's going to play defense. He brings that kind of attitude. And I know he hasn't shot the ball well up until this point, but when his contract expires at $18 million, I don't know what kind of mid-level exception he's willing to take, or I don't know what other team's going to willing to pay for his services. But, you know, he's going to need somewhere to go anyway as well. Now, I mean, you may not be. I think if I had to rank it, of course, Smith Jr. is not going nowhere. But if you know, I would rank it Jordan, and then Wesley Matthews. I would love to keep Wesley Matthews because he's tough. He's a tough player. He plays good defense. He's a decent 3-point shot. He's not what he used to be because of that injury. But I think a veteran like him is another guy who's been in the league several years with the Blazers, the Mavericks, hasn't had a chip. And you get a bunch of guys who are hungry, especially with a franchise who haven't won a chip since, what, 73. I think this you have a lot of motivational players if you get the right roster around. Now, Av, what are the things from this trade we have not brought up? Or what about the play from the game versus the Grizzlies, the Pistons that you like? What about Kevin Knox? Are you saw him, you know, he's showing a little bit more confidence game in, week in, week out, despite the losses. Trier, if he could get back going like he was earlier this season, he's been on and off. Mr. Live brought up Frank Ntilikina, him being on the bench, and there's kind of no role for him. What about all these younger Knicks that are looking at this? Like, how does this play? And anything else you'd like to add and go back to Mr. Live?
Well, with this trade, with Hardaway now gone, the theory of, you know, Porzingis coming back. This gives Fizdale the opportunity that he's kind of already doing, but now this gives the players that mentality and that, that sense of comfort that this year is all about them. And because initially, if you're really thinking about it, they're all auditioning for a spot on this team as, you know, as a crucial bench member. You know, member of the bench come next season. Because, you know, if I mean, in the perfect world, you know, you're starting, a potentially Kevin Durant, starting potentially a Kyrie Irving or a Kemba Walker or something like that. And if DeAndre Jordan does stay, you're probably thinking of him at center, you know. So they have to fill, you know, they have two starting spots. Plus the next, you know, the remainder of the bench. So this kind of gives them this opportunity to develop because they're going to get all the playing time. Like I said, you know, Kanter and Wes Matthews more than likely are both going to get bought out, if not traded by tomorrow. So with that being said, I think this gives, you know, guys like Trier, more valuable playing time, more experience. This is a great opportunity for Kevin Knox, you know, because now the mistakes are not going to be so magnified this season. They're going to have the ability to make certain mistakes since there's nothing – really, there is no expectation for this team, considering that, you know, the best result for them is for them to keep continuing to lose. But what I'm seeing about this is that they're not necessarily just rolling over. In the game yesterday against the Detroit Pistons, it wasn't like, you know, a complete, you know, beat down by the Pistons. I mean, they had to kind of work for that. Same thing with the Grizzlies. You know, they had to kind of work. And, you know, if it wasn't for their all-stars, if you don't factor in guys like, guys like Blake Griffin or guys like, you know, Conley and Gasol and things of, guys of that sort. You know, the Knicks could have easily upset. I mean, it's possible they could easily upset either one of those teams. Obviously, they do have those kind of players, and the result ended up being what they were. But what I'm seeing is that these Knicks are giving you that fight. They are trying. They are doing what they need to do in order for them to develop that, especially like that, you know, that fire, that hunger. Because there was one thing that we would always say, even when the Knicks were, you know, above mediocre, is that when they would have these massive leads, you know, they just, you know, like what's the term, Steve? You know, lay off the gas pedal. Well, it's exact. You know, I'm starting to see that these Knicks will eventually develop that desire to kill their opponent, the game away, and they're learning that game in and game out. I mean, they have 35, 34 games left. Why not, you know, utilize it as best as possible?
All right. Ms. Live, anything else you'd like to add as far as the other players on this roster that's seen this trade or watched this trade go through last week? And from these recent games, Dotson, Knox, Trier, Robinson, their play, despite the losses, how you like how they're playing and how they've seen this with their immediate future, so on and so forth.
Right. So, you know, I mean, you can see, well, what I've seen in the last two games is kind of like a realization with these guys, you know what I'm saying? Like NBA is a business, you know? And, you know, I noticed in that pitch, Knox's defense was, you know what I'm saying? Like, his feet was moving, he was shuffling. And I laughed, just like I laughed now, because everybody played on their toes that game, you know? And what it is that, you know, I think there's a realization that throughout the whole squad, that, dog, this could end in a minute. Like, I could be selling hot dogs in a second. Like, you know, like, this is not a game. Because now here you go with the three players that came in, you can see the attitude kind of change. And again, you know, it goes all towards, you know, bringing those winning attitudes into the game. You know, as before, you know, where you had this tank mode mentality, and you could see it in the play, you know, where these players weren't playing for a specific reason, not even development, you know what I'm saying? Because again, like, what is the coaching staff doing losing like they do and then playing the people they play and how they play them? You got these three guys coming in, and it's almost like Fizdale and everybody was kind of hiding the BS, you know? So I was like, okay, y'all go ahead. Even with the Piston game, it's like let's start these three guys, you know, so we can get some continuity in the situation and maybe win one, whatever the case may be, you know. You know, I think that got taken away from them by strictly because the Pistons are fighting for their spot. But with that, it's how we developing them and how we doing things. You know, what's really going to happen is you know, again, West Matthews is going to be bought out. Cantor is definitely going to be bought out. They'll have two or three wide roster spots to plug in, same day guys, and they'll continue to tank. You know what I'm saying? But what everybody else, Frank, Moody, especially Frank and Moody, you understand what I'm saying? Because, again, everybody is looking for a spot next year with, you know, the addition of, you know what I'm saying, you know, if all the reports is going in, the Knicks are going to try very hard to get premium guys, you know what I'm saying, on the roster. I personally prefer them play kind of like the low role and Chris Middleton and things of that nature. That's just me. But everybody is looking for their spot to be on, and they're going to play their best ball. So I think that's what's happening with the shakeup. I think that's what will eventually shape out the rest of the year. And I believe Jordan will be the only one left. I believe he'll be the only one left. More so, like Av said, the lure KD down than anything else. I don't really, you know what I'm saying? I think they kind of lucked out on that. You understand? So. And I think as the kind of days went on, it was like, oh, you know, Jordan is really an asset. We got a top flight player in that situation. And then again, you know, again, me talking about the mentality, is Wesley Matthews is a two-way player. You know, I mean, he's a little limited. He's 32 years old, probably just getting really back from that Achilles injury. You know, but that guy is a two-way player. He's about defense. I mean, if you watched him play defense last night, it was pretty good. I mean, you know, like it was pretty good. You know, so it wasn't like just flying by him like everybody else was. So, and it's gonna be very interesting, man. You know, so like I can't wait till Friday when everything is over and everybody can't be moving, whatever the case may be. I can't wait for then. You know, because that's when we'll see, you know, the Knicks go, okay, Cantor's out of here, Wesley is out of here, and then we're going to bring in maybe a John Jenkins from Westchester or maybe another four, you know what I'm saying? That they, so, well, I think they probably try to get another three in there. I'm sure that I would if I was the Knicks staff. I would definitely try to get another three in there. So, it's going to be very interesting, guys.
All right. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Let's bring on Lil Dre to the Rat on Instagram. Now, Lil Dre to the Rat, got to get your thoughts. I don't even know your thoughts as far as how you thought on last week's trade with the Mavericks, how you saw the play of Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan. Are you willing to keep DeAndre Jordan for the right price, and how much if you decide to keep him? What is the plan you would like to execute with the cap space going towards the end of this season and into the off season as well? Lil Dre to the Rat, welcome back, man. How's everything?
Well, it's good to go ahead and be back, but to be honest, I do not know what the plan is because, one, KP asking for the trade just straight, as far as I know, just came out of nowhere. And it's really just like, I don't know, maybe he just got to the point where it's like he just, you know, just scored or losing. But it's the fact that how it was just so subtle and then up to that one point, and then the fact we traded him so quick, it's not even funny. Like, I think it was like, what, 15 or 20 minutes after the meeting they traded Porzingis, and then you clear, about approximately $70 million cap, and you're hearing all these people, even with CNA, talk about, oh, they landed all these two big players. Now, my thing is, this would be a fail if we only get the likes of a Kemba or Jimmy Butler. Because that's like tier two superstar talent. In order for this not to be a fail, after you just moved, a franchise cornerstone player is a KD, Kyrie, and a Kawhi. I'm pretty sure DeAndre is going to be gone after this season. Dennis Smith, he should stick around for the future because I've gained, and I was that one person that was probably preaching the most when I said I really had this much faith in, you know, the kingdom. But I think at this point, it's just better long to bring along as a backup guard. You're using them to give them like a nice 20-minute spot up game. And you finally got a player that can go ahead and put it in the hole, and then he don't have to be a focus on trying to run offense.
Yeah, indeed, man. Totally agree, Dre, with that assessment. When you look at Dennis Smith Jr., just last night, the ability of slashing and getting to the paint and deep into the paint, that's what we need in today's point guard in 2018-2019 season. He made it look real easy. The only thing that's kind of stopping him is his perimeter jumper, his perimeter shooting. But, you know, like Mr. Lodge said, the rapport with the alley-oops with DeAndre Jordan, obviously they were teammates in Dallas. Getting comfortable with the other teammates as well. You know, he has a spurt, it bursts in his defense. Now, sometimes he could be a little lackadaisical on defense, especially at the top, with screen and rolls. You see him not fight through picks. But overall, the knack of jumping in the lanes is pretty much there. But offensively, he sets up, he has a kind of like a set shot in a sense with his crossover. He has a little bit of a pullback. And even when he gets into the lane, he'll do that little ball fake, make the defender jump, and he'll twirl around, or spin around, half spin around, and lay it in. Some players are keen to it. A lot of players are not really familiar with his game tape. But he's getting into the paint, and he's giving the easy shots. The Knicks lost, especially the Detroit game, it wasn't really because of the scoring. And for the most part, they just couldn't get over the hump with the perimeter shooting for the Pistons. The Pistons just kept on making jumpers after jumper. So, and then the Knicks are not a great shooting team as well. It seems like Smith kind of carried the load, such and such, whatever. Before I go back to you and go back to Mr. Live and then Dre, around the league as well, Av, if you want to add on with more Knicks stuff, I think this is a fun week. I'm not really into the rumor stuff like you already know, Av, for several years on this platform, but I just really think it's really interesting because the Knicks are never in this situation with all this money going to the offseason because of bad contracts the last 15, 20 years. So this is new territory, and I think this is why a lot of veteran Knicks fans are so excited that the opportunity of this AAU culture, because we've never really been in this AAU culture where you tell a free agent, hey, I want you. You could bring a friend. You know what I'm saying? So we've never been in this situation. This is different in a sense. The Knicks have had bad signings over the years, but it isn't like this with this era. So, and with this management, so it's still kind of unknown, and it's not guaranteed we're going to land some of these bigger free agents, and I get that. But it's weird that you got the two New York teams and the two LA teams are almost in the same situation. Never seen it before, man. So I'm kind of excited yet anxious to see how it's going to play out with the Nets as well because they got a lot of cap space. The Clippers did an interesting trade with the Sixers. I don't know what the fuck the Sixers were thinking. And then the Lakers, of course. They've been trying to do a lot of deals, especially for a certain player down in New Orleans. Now, Av, if you want to weigh in with that trade with the Sixers or even, you know, the Anthony Davis situation, I think Magic Johnson is crazy with what he was trying to propose. But if you want to weigh on that or anything else around the league, I thought I heard Toronto was trying to trade or consider trading Kyle Lowry and Valanciunas for Gasol and Conley. What the hell are they thinking? But Av, anything else you'd like to add from around the league or even just the Knicks itself, feel free to fire away on anything. And then we'll go to Mr. Levin back to Dre.
Well, the way I'm looking at everything right now is it's like the rise of the big market teams again. Because, you know, it used to be something that, you know, the big market teams would always get. You know, that's why we have the salary cap, the certain rules that we have currently in the NBA where they create some kind of parity and it's still backfiring. So, you know, I like the intrigue that's happening. You have the Lakers with LeBron James, you know, doing everything they can, which is, I agree with you 100%, but, you know, the offers that are being reported out that Magic Johnson is offering the Pelicans are like, wow. I mean, it's like basically I'm looking at it's like, well, if you do that trade, then what are you going to the playoffs with? It's like one of those situations. And I mean, obviously, as a Knicks fan, I'm excited. I'm still very, very cautious and very, and just being very cautious about the situation, considering the Knicks have broken our hearts before. Really, we don't know the overall full effect of this Porzingis trade and how it translates to the free agents, because they can take it one way, like we are, or they can take it a completely, sideways way and just look at the Knicks organization, look at Steve Mills, look at Scott Perry, look at James Dolan, look at the 20 years of history of bad deals and be like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. But you haven't convinced. Maybe the Knicks haven't done enough to convince free agents that that their ways have changed. So that's one ordeal. In terms of around the league, I'm not considering that the Knicks are completely out of it, and I'm not really like looking around the league. I mean, I pay attention to what's going on, and that Philadelphia trade that you mentioned. I think that Philadelphia is really trying to stretch. They're really just trying to fight for that, for a higher seeding. Hopefully, they can try to catch Toronto and Milwaukee. That reported trade that you're talking about, between Memphis and Toronto. Why and wow, they're going for broke at this point. I think what it is that Toronto kind of understands that this could be it. Leonard could be gone, Lowry could be over. They already traded DeRozan. I'm starting to guess that, that they know that, their window is closing, and, maybe this is the right push, that pushing, or that kick in the ass that Memphis needs to kind of like break up and start over, because they've been needed to do that for like 3-4 years now. And it's just like they're stuck there. Another team that needs to kind of like do that the same thing, to me, in my opinion, are the Washington Wizards. And even though they're in the position that they're in, but it's like, how much longer can you continue with the same players and the same dynamic, hoping that you keep on trying, that you can lure somebody, to add to it? It's never going to happen. But that's it for me in terms of around the league right now. I'm still, checking on my Knicks and rocking the gear. But I'm right now in baseball mode. The Yankee flags are starting to come out in about a week. The jerseys are getting, are getting pulled out of the cleaners, and I'm just getting ready for the pinstripes.
Mr. Live, what is your thoughts, anything else on the Knicks as well? Or just around the league as well with the trade proposals or the trades that actually did occur. And then we'll get the little Dre to the rack and go around for final thoughts.
Right. So the biggest and the most wow got to be that Philly move. More so because, man, I was eyeing Tobias Harris as maybe somebody, the Knicks could bring in. But that was such a crazy move, such a bold move. They gave up a lot for him too, man. But they had the picks, they had the extra stuff. Philly had a lot of picks under their belt to acquire that man, and they got a chance to re-sign him. In the offseason, which is crazy, man. Because look at their star five right now, man. Challenged to find a better five except for the Wizards, Warriors in the league. Good gracious, who's gonna deal with that backcourt, man? That backcourt is ridiculous. And then you got
got Tobias. Tobias Harris was shooting 50% from the floor, man. Like 44% from 3-point range, man. He was giving them like 8 rebounds. So I'm like, good God! It was such a crazy move. It's gonna be bad for the East this year, man. You know, whether they keep Butler or not, it just makes them monsters in that post and in that man. Whoever get them in play, they're gonna be a bad out. They're gonna have a tough time with the Bulls. I haven't looked at they bench yet, but they starting five is ridiculous. It's just madness. But you know, that was cool. The Cavs shaved off a whole bunch of stuff, man. They got a whole bunch of picks and they got rid of a lot of pieces on there, man. Jabari Parker got traded. You know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Even the Rockets, man, kind of shaved off a little bit of their shit with Iman Shumpert going there. So, I think Dre came on and was saying about, you know, the Knicks being like if they, you know, them trading Porzingis would be a bust, you know what I'm saying, if they didn't, you know, do this, that, and the third. But, you know, again, man, I believe even, you know, like cause first and foremost, I don't believe any big-time free agent is coming, except if they go – if KD is not going right now, he's like, yo, Kyrie, yo, KD, I mean, AD, yo, Kawhi. If he's not going, asking any one of them to come with him, nobody's coming. You understand what I'm saying? They'll all stay with their teams and get their money, and that'll be that. I don't believe, as Knickerbocker has said, I don't believe the Knicks have done enough to around the league. You know, again, because, you know, especially with that punk KP talking all that crap, like we did something wrong when it was really him. That little mellow thing was a couple of years ago, and it wasn't under, you know, Fizz and Perry. You know what I'm saying? Needless though, it was still a mix and they dysfunction, and we got to eat that. But aside from that, I don't think any big free agent is coming. That's why I think we need to look lower. I think we need to look at it because there's not gonna be a whole bunch of money for these really good players like Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton and you know, even Cousins, you know what I'm saying, to that effect. Not that I really want him either, but still, you know, man, you know what I'm saying? Everybody is looking for them to do something, you know, at the deadline. If they don't make another move, man, they have achieved something that no GM, Isaiah, Walsh, Phil, none of these did what Perry did with this trade, man. This trade made us clean, man, and it has changed it's going to change the face of our look for years to come, man. Years. We don't have to jump at these guys, man. These guys are in their 30s, man. They're on their last contract, and they're whittling down, man. AD is about the only dude that I'm willing to go, you know what, let's wait and see what happens, man. And maybe he's calling somebody and go, yo, let's go down to the Knicks in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, I think we should organically build, you know, get some really young free agents that's coming up that got the stats, you know what I'm saying, to make us a playoff team and win through attrition, man. Win by building it and learning how to win and acquiring, like, these really good players at good price, paying you this longevity, man. We got 7 first-round picks over the next 5 years, man. That's money in the bank, man. We could use them or we could trade them away to get better players, man. But, you know, I think we are in great shape, you know. But, yeah, that's me.
All right, cool. Drake, let's get some final thoughts from you, and then let's get to Av. Dre, final thoughts from you. Anything around the league, our squad, fire away, and then Knickerbocker Avenue.
Definitely with the 76ers trade. The only thing I really would say they really lost out of it is the 2023 first rounder, if it belongs to Miami, because we don't know how they're going to really fare. But it's like probably on the tail end of the lottery. But with the Knicks is just, this is probably like just a start of something actually going ahead and being good. Only because, one, you already got all this, let's say, buzz around, and then it's nothing new. But here's what is new. We're actually starting off with a good amount of assets, whether it was for future first rounds or just even players in general. Next, you also got to go ahead and coach that at least was already with the squad for at least 1 year. If it's not even the fact that we don't have we even probably never had a piece. It's just the fact that we just never had a consistent squad. We didn't have a go ahead and actually coach. And what I will give KP, I don't know how Knicks fans took it, but the way I went and took it was just, like, the Knicks is like our hoodwinking the fans. Like they, you sell us, well, at least sell them, the majority of them, because we've been on the platform a lot of times saying how basically the owner is just basically don't give a crap as long as they just sell the tickets. And it's just how you got some fans that just don't see it. Like, the Knicks are probably, no, not even probably, they are the most, like, franchise to go ahead and sell out tickets year-round regardless on how they plan. Just imagine how much they can go ahead and sell if they was just even in the playoffs again. But with everybody, you know, around the league, it's just straight havoc and chaos. You got people out here trying to make all these other teams. And one thing I also realized with players nowadays, also like an AAU, is like almost like a monkey see, monkey do. Either one player is going to either have to balls to just say, you know what, I'm going to either come to this team, and then another one will follow. You see, it's basically an all for one or one for all, or none of that case. But that's all I got to say.
Little Dre to the rack. Thank you very much, bro. On the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, Av, we got about a minute and a half. Fire away, man, on your final thoughts.
Folks, if you're one of those, you know, one of the many Knicks fans who have those Porzingis jerseys, do me a favor. Please don't freaking go outside and start burning them outside your house. Freaking donate them. Don't be that stupid. Come on. There are actual people who can't afford a Knicks jersey. Let them get a, you know, the player they never had. You don't need to start burning them. Until then, folks, I mean, stay the course. Stay loyal. Stay optimistic. If you need any love steam, we're here for you. Every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Until then, Knickerbocker Av on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Signing out. Sangre Azul all day, every day. Bleed blue. Knickerbocker Av out.
All right. Mr. Live, Knickerbocker Avenue, and, of course, Lil Dre to the Rat on IG. This episode will be on bleedblueshow.com, our website. If you want to listen on iTunes or Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, those apps on your smartphone devices, feel free. Tell a friend to hear veteran Knicks fans like these guys to talk Knicks basketball, NBA, around the league as well. We'll be back next Wednesday for another episode. Interesting in the sense of because of the trade deadline and what our squad has done. And this is the very first time in a long time, if not to remember, in a unique situation with two max contracts available in the offseason and under a new management, or not new management per se, but executives who's running this franchise. We don't know where they're able to pull off, and that's the anxious part of this whole situation. But nonetheless, great dialogue on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Follow Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook and Twitter and also on Instagram as well. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.